Good morning. Welcome to Focus. This is our telephone talk program. It's the first Wednesday of the month, and it has been our tradition forever now on this day to talk about food. And we always have a good time. Sometimes we trade recipes or cooking stories or ask questions, do a little troubleshooting. We've talked with people who said, look, I'm trying to make this particular thing, and it is just not working. Do you have some idea what I'm doing wrong? We've done all those sorts of things. And every time we do the program, we do pick one particular focus that we talk about. Although there are no rules here. Just because we've said, all right, we're going to talk about this particular thing, we do stray into other areas. It's a very free form kind of a deal. But we do generally have a subject to talk about. And with, generally speaking, the same guest, the man who for now many years we have called our chef in residence. It's purely honorary, but, you know, we like to see him every month. And his name is Doyle Moore, and we talk about cooking from different parts of the world and different parts of the United States. And we've talked about different dishes and said, for example, we've talked about chili. And we've said, you know, give us your secret recipe. Why is yours better than everybody else's? And we've collected a lot of different recipes. And his thought this time around was to talk about stuffed vegetables and extend the horizons here of stuffed vegetables. Because if, you know, the first thing you think about is stuffed peppers, for example, that's fine. But then we might ask, well, okay, you can do stuffed peppers. Maybe you can do stuffed tomato. But where do you go from there? What other possibilities are there? And there are others. And if you go around the world and talk with different people about how they cook, where they live, there are a lot of different approaches to this subject. So that's what we're doing here. Your questions and comments and recipes and what have you are welcome if you want to call in. The number here in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. Also, we have a toll-free line. That's good anywhere you can hear us, 800-222-9455. And at any point you want to call in, I do that. Well, welcome back.
Yes, thank you very much.
So what started you thinking about stuffed vegetables?
Well, two things happened. I'm aware that there aren't really a lot of fresh seasonal vegetables, but then what we have, remember when we were talking about the root vegetables and things that were left over, and so I got to think, well, there are other kinds of things other than those solid root vegetables that are keepable, and you extend them into, and you kind of add them to something to make another dish. And that, coupled with the fact that I ran into a new recipe for cabbage rolls. Now, I am not one to make them. I just never have, because I've always thought, well, they're so the same. You know, they're always the same. And this recipe interested me, and I have been aware that the whole genre of stuffed vegetables is really essentially a Turkish and Mideast kind of solution, and that those, you see, that's a different kind of environment, but the problems are very similar. How to extend vegetables and such, or to use a vegetable as a little vehicle for putting just a little taste of something else with it. And because all of the countries that refer to the dolma is all related to that style and manner of cooking. And I've been interested in some of that for a long time. Well, I finally found a cabbage roll recipe that didn't have tomatoes in it. And that made me curious, because I always thought that all of it had to have tomatoes. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we do remember that tomatoes are relatively new in cuisine. So was there ever something before, or was there just, I mean, it didn't start all on that day. Mm-hmm. So I got to looking around at various vegetables, and I found that a lot of the Mediterranean, the books that deal with Mediterranean foods have a lot of different vegetables in them, some that you wouldn't even think of. And then there are some that have sort of shifted and come to other places. So I thought, well, there's a great variety of stuff here, stuffings, a great variety of stuff here. So that's why I wanted to talk about it.
Okay. And we, just to make sure people don't limit themselves too much here. Now, you're also counting something that would be wrapped, like wrapped in cabbage, wrapped in grape leaves,
cabbage, lettuce,
that sort of. So you're counting. You're not just thinking of a.
Oh no, that's a like stuffed vegetable.
A vegetable that has a ready-made cavity like a pepper.
Because they all belong. They all are given the same word. Whether it's a pepper or a tomato or a wrapped leaf, they're all the same word.
All right. Well, we have someone to start with.
Great.
In Urbana, on line number one, right here. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
Doyle.
Yes.
Do you think carrot cake could come under stuffed vegetables?
Do I think that what could?
Carrot cake.
Carrot cake.
Carrot cake?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, because my cabbage roll has grated carrots in it. So, yeah, let's have carrot cake.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm asking is because about 2 years ago I found this wonderful recipe for carrot cake in the newspaper. It was made with pineapple and raisins and then, of course, cream cheese dressing.
Oh, yes.
Well, of course I saved it, and, of course, now I can't find it. So I'm wondering if you or anybody in the audience has a recipe for a carrot cake made with pineapple and raisins.
Pineapple and raisins.
Yeah.
I will check that, and somebody will be listening, and they'll call it in, I'm sure.
Okay, well,
all right.
That's my question.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Pineapple and raisins. Yes, because it's very moist. A carrot cake is a really kind of an interesting thing. I generally think that we think of a carrot cake as sort of being kind of German. I don't know, maybe you don't, but it seems to me that it keeps coming up like a spice cake or that. But where I first learned about a carrot cake was from India. And very much, and there is a halva that is made with the grated carrots like that, and the tastes were very similar. So I always ponder on that when someone talks about carrot cakes.
Hmm. Okay. Well, if
we'll
someone does indeed have a recipe like that, you can give us a call and share it with us. And otherwise, if you have recipes that deal with using vegetables in this way, we said stuffed vegetables, but that doesn't just mean, like, as I said, it doesn't just mean, say, stuffing a pepper. It basically means, I guess, using one vegetable as a container.
So
could indeed be something like a cabbage roll, could be something like in Greece where they take grape leaves.
Grape leaves, yes, dolmas. Are made of grape leaves. And then there are various, it's almost a matter of, that's really just the form, because the Greek recipes are very complex. There are a lot of them. And that's why I thought it'd be interesting. It's another one of those things where you get 10 cooks and you have 15 recipes, because there's always a little, I want to change it this way, that way, that way. And so we often talk about those changes. I'm fond of the Armenian taste with spices and raisins and nuts in all of those mixtures. I like that particular taste.
So is what we're talking about here essentially a way of steaming something?
It's a way. In a sense, they are steamed pretty much, because they're not really boiled, because then that ends up with a texture of whatever it is that is. But steaming is pretty much the way it's done, or liquid braising, very short amount of liquid and braising.
Well, let's talk with somebody else.
Yes.
This is Aurora. That's line number four. Hello.
Hi.
Hi there.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
We have a lot of fog up here.
Really?
If you wanted a weather report.
Well, at least we know.
I went to my Czechoslovakian cookbook.
Oh, yes.
And guess what they stuff?
What?
Kale.
Kale?
Kale. Two small heads of kale boiled.
Huh.
A fourth of a cup of butter, half a cup of stock. And the filling is a pound of ground pork.
Yeah, pork, okay.
Half a pound of smoked meat, ground. That's different, cooked smoked meat.
It is. Would that be a ham or maybe a pork chop or what?
Well, they are.
A smoked meat.
Smoked pork chops.
There are smoked pork chops.
Ham.
And ham, maybe bacons.
Yeah.
They're smoked.
So it doesn't say exactly. It just says cooked smoked meat, which is different.
Yes.
This book has many differences, you know. It just, and then 2 cups of cooked rice.
All right. Yes, I like to put grains in it, yes.
Yeah, I suppose you could change that. And margarine to taste. And this is new. I've never seen this. A cup and a half of chopped mushrooms.
Oh, yeah. Now well, that's going to be, see, so much of this is kind of like making a meatloaf, you know, where you'll put in a lot of different things. But then the real function of it is a smaller quantity of food. It's a way of extending food, really.
Mm-hmm.
And so the quantities are not huge. And you can, goodness, you can serve, I served six people and they only ate half of what I made with a pound of meat. I mean, that's stretching it out pretty far, isn't it?
And you got them to eat vegetables.
Oh, I did indeed. I did just make this last Saturday, as a matter of fact. So it's still hot in my mind.
Have you ever heard of using kale?
No, I haven't. But I can see why it would. I would be anxious about kale because it's very tough.
Yes,
it's tougher.
I thought so too, but. You know, those people are tough, and they eat whatever's available.
Well, but kale is such a good taste. I can see how that would indeed work, and I can see how somebody would come to it like, well, I don't have any cabbage today. I don't have any. I suppose even Swiss chard would work, and I should think that some of the large lettuce, leaves of spinach would also work. Or we do other things with spinach where you kind of pack it around it rather than wrap it in a leaf. You sort of pack it around a floor. Quarantine dish, for example, is a vegetable that. So there are a lot of these variations. Well, that sounds interesting. What was the liquid that was used? I'm curious about.
I just said stock.
Just stock. Uh-huh.
The other thing that was interesting, it says blend all the ingredients. Well, saute the mushrooms in 2 tablespoons of butter.
Yeah.
Blend together all the ingredients for the filling. Pull off the kale leaves carefully. And chop the hearts. I never thought of using.
Oh well, don't throw away anything.
No, but isn't that a good thing?
One of my recipes advised that when you chop out the heavy ribs of the cabbage leaves, you just layer the pan with that so that the stuff doesn't stick in the pan.
Now, that's a good suggestion. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yes, I use that right away. And also the trimmings and then some of the leaves that weren't quite as good as the others, I lined my pan with that. And it worked, it worked, it worked.
It says then put 2 tablespoons filling on each leaf and roll up. Arrange in a baking dish. Dot with butter. Pour in stock. Etc., you know, and bake at 375 for 30 to 45 minutes.
Now, that's the amazing part, 30 to 45 minutes.
Yes.
That's all it takes to cook this meal. I was surprised at that. I will admit I have not gone into cooking this for so I wasn't familiar with the short length of time. But then I started looking at all the recipes and gee, they're only one of them was 15 minutes and then turn them over and do them another 15 minutes and that was it. So it's smaller amounts and it's less cooking. Well, I liked it. Well, thank you very much for that. That's good.
Could I
yes?
say something?
Sure.
I have a friend that invited her daughter over to help her make cabbage rolls. And I thought, what a nice thing to do with your daughter.
Well, that is good.
Yeah, it brings, you know, people together.
Well, because you see, even though you do have a recipe, and even though you can find a book with the information in it, I have a feeling that things like this particular subject are so old that they are handed down. And if you don't hand them down, then they sort of stop. But yes, I am a firm believer in handing out recipes to family. Yes.
And then what happened? They made a tremendous amount. I can't remember how much they made. And then they gave them to each of the members of the family.
Oh, yes.
Which I thought was a wonderful thing to do.
Yes, I agree with that. That's very nice. Because, they're sharing some memories that way, too, because they've all eaten it before, and those tastes are familiar.
And the wives don't cook like mother used to
cook.
I mean, mother didn't work as much as the mothers do today.
Nope, that's exactly it. Well, good for you.
Bye-bye.
Well, thank you.
For the call. Let's go. We got somebody here on a car phone, line number one. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A couple points. One, first is a recipe which I don't remember, unfortunately, but it was a Brazilian recipe that was a pumpkin or similar kind of squash.
Uh-huh.
In which basically a stew was baked.
Oh, yes.
So they put there was a sausage and various vegetables and some peppers and things like that. I can't remember exactly how to do it, but I was sort of surprised seeing a pumpkin used that way, because here we don't really use them as pies or that kind of thing. It wasn't sort of a main course meal, but
right.
I actually tried it once, and it was very, very, very good.
There is one source that I know of using a pumpkin as a container, and that is Native American because the pumpkin and gourds and all that are New World stuff.
Sure.
So I have run into that, and it's interesting because you've got all these flavors boiling around inside this cavity, mm-hmm. and it changes the texture and the taste of the pumpkin shell itself, and you serve it right out of the pumpkin shell and
right,
take
and
scoops of that.
Pumpkin.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, I mean, you eat the whole thing except for the skin.
Yes.
Even that, actually, you can eat because it gets pretty tenderized if it's a reasonable,
well,
it's not all battered over old pumpkin. Pumpkin. You can buy some smaller ones that aren't quite so bad.
I was going to say, I think that Martha Stewart has done that with the new little baby pumpkins as well.
She would.
Yes, she would do that. But doesn't that sound like a Martha Stewart thing?
It does.
Tiny pumpkins, yes.
But that brings me my second question.
Yes.
As you pointed out, a lot of these dishes depend on things that are New World. And what I've always wondered for a long time is, what was Mediterranean cooking like before the bell pepper and the tomato and the cucumber?
It was
all of which are New World.
Exactly, you're right, and that's a fair question. Cooking was totally different because, in essence, it was a joint of meat. It was if you were rich enough to have meat, it would be a joint that would be roasted. I mean, they still call it a joint, which would be a roasted chicken or a roasted piece of beef or whatever. And then that business of using the leftovers in different ways. So you would have that, which is really, we laugh about that tradition, you know, like you can always tell when it's hash and what's the smell of curry. That means that's the last time we'll have this dish this week, you know, that kind of thing. But it was a simple roasted piece of meat that would just be eaten rather plain. There were no sauces. Sauces didn't really come in until much later. And then vegetables of all various kinds, green leafy vegetables in the spring that you could collect, and turnips and boiled things that we've talked about before being left over in the winter. Those things were often made into a soup or into a kind of a stew. And originally they were served. The holes were carved into the big tables, just holes, and you poured this soup in these strange holes, and you took whatever bread you had and you sopped. And that's where the word soup came from, was being used in this manner. So there were a lot of juicy leftover combinations, but nothing that was the idea of elegant cuisine or of something like we're eating with elaborate sauces. The sauces are credited so much to France, but it was Italy that taught France how to do all that cooking. So that was not until much, much later. So it was very primitive, very straightforward, a pot boiling over the fire and a roast of meat.
Thanks much.
You betcha.
Thank you. Other questions, comments, welcome. This is our monthly program on cooking with a man we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. And we staked out as our territory for this time around stuffed vegetables. So if you have a good recipe to share with us, that'd be great. But, you know, other sorts of questions and stories and what have you are just fine. You know, we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. 333-WILL, toll-free 800-222-WILL. Now I'm curious about this myself, actually, because of the last caller. As he mentioned, peppers and tomatoes are New World
yes.
vegetables. Also, potatoes.
Potatoes.
Right. Squash.
All of the gourd squash family, yes.
So it starts me thinking, what sort of vegetables did they have in the old world?
Not much. That's what I said. They were the green leafy things that you could collect from the fields, and whatever root crops were made to work. I have to hesitate on exactly which ones I would mention, but I will say like turnips and carrots. Mm. And
so
that
there were
sort of
some root.
There were root vegetables because they're I think even parsnips would have been a very old one. I'm sure turnips were used for a long time, but I'm not exactly certain where those came from. I think a lot of them came through China and up through Italy and into the major part of Europe. So I don't know that they were necessarily indigenous then early on, but eating was not this fantastic thing that we managed to do now, but the food was plain and not more than about two or three textures, mm-hmm. a boiled texture, a roasted texture, and then something that was liquidy.
Well, I'm sure that's why people in Europe got so jazzed about the possibility of having seasonings that came from someplace else, like pepper, for example.
Because their refrigerators didn't let the meat stay. It was spoiling.
Oh, so pepper, that helped to cover over bad
pepper. Exactly. Bad. I mean, if they'd have had refrigerators, America wouldn't have been discovered. That's stretching it a bit, but that's exactly how it is, because the spices then were something that were added to change the flavor.
Hmm. Well, 333-9455 is the number here for Champaign Urbana, toll-free 800-222-9455. Maybe you have some good vegetable recipe that involves using a vegetable as a container for other stuff. So that's what we're talking about, stuffed vegetables. And naturally, right away, you think of something like peppers, stuffed peppers or tomatoes or something like that. But there are other ways that you can use vegetables as wrappings. One of my producers, Harriet Williamson, said, well, for hors d'oeuvres, any small thing could be stuffed.
Oh, yes.
Stuff mushroom.
That's true.
Cherry tomato.
Cherry tomatoes. I was thinking that on the way over. Like that. Yes. That even extends, because again, it's a little container for whatever you've done. Yes. Hors d'oeuvres done that way are quite good. The reason I sort of was interested in my cabbage recipe was it used milk as a liquid to cook it in. I was very surprised. I'd not seen that, and I'm sure that there are uses of milk. They used evaporated milk and put evaporated milk into the meat mixture, and then poured the evaporated milk over the cabbage rolls, and it was sort of then cooked in milk. And I was very surprised at that, because the sauce that was put over it at the end was butter and lemon juice. I did it anyway, and it tasted all right. I mean, I thought there would be curdling and different kinds of things happening. I was surprised. Mm. But I have altered that a little bit. I now use an avgo limono sauce to pour over that.
Egg lemon.
Oh, God, is it good. Oh, I couldn't believe it. Mm. I was so envious of my guests that I sat there and ate a lot of it by myself before I even let them come in and taste it. I made an egg lemon sauce that was the best thing I've ever made in my life, and it thrilled me. I mean, you know when you're cooking, you don't often come up to things and say, oh, now this is mm-hmm. more than I can. Mm-hmm. Well, last Saturday, I just sat in there, and I was just jumping up and down and yelling to myself how happy I was that I'd made an egg lemon sauce. I've made avgo limono supa for 45, 50 years, but I never used it as a sauce. And now I made it and used it as a sauce. It was good.
I haven't had that in a long time. That is a good
egg lemon soup.
I haven't had it in a long time.
I haven't made it. Well, I think it's when we kind of slowed down on the use of eggs. However, I will point out that artificial eggs work.
Oh.
They do work quite well. I've made egg lemon with egg beaters.
The one, and those are the ones that pretty much are just whites?
Yes. Yes. Okay. They're yellowish, but they're just really white. It's just the egg whites. Uh-huh. Works.
Okay. Let's talk with some other folks. Good. Champagne, line one. Hello.
Yes, I have a carrot cake recipe.
Oh, good. Well, I'm sure that our listener wants to know about it, so help us.
Well, it has pineapple, but not raisins. But mm-hmm. It's a very good recipe.
Yes, all right.
You want the ingredients?
Yes, please.
All right. 1 1/2 cups of oil.
All right.
2 cups sugar.
All right.
2 cups grated carrots.
Grated, yes. Mm-hmm. And they're raw. They're not cooked, are they?
No, they're raw.
Yes.
An 8-ounce can of crushed pineapple.
8 ounces of pineapple.
Crushed.
Mm-hmm.
And crushed drained.
Crushed pineapple drained.
Right. 4 eggs.
Okay.
2 cups of flour.
2 cups of flour. Mm-hmm.
2 teaspoons baking powder.
2 little teas of baking powder.
1 1/2 teaspoons of soda.
And soda, yes.
2 teaspoons of cinnamon.
All right.
1 teaspoon salt.
1 teaspoon of salt, yes.
And 1 cup chopped walnuts.
Oh, yes. Walnuts.
Okay.
Good.
And the directions?
Yes.
Add sugar to oil.
Yes.
Beat well.
Mm-hmm.
Add carrots and pineapple and beet.
Okay, so those are all the wet things, yes.
Add eggs one at a time. Beating after each.
Right.
Sift flour, measure, add baking powder, soda, cinnamon, mm-hmm. and salt.
Yes.
And re-sift.
And re-sift it, yes.
Gradually add to other mix.
Okay.
Add nuts last.
That sounds pretty good. Now, how long do you bake it?
You bake it at 350.
350.
50 minutes.
50 minutes, all right.
And sometimes a little longer.
Yeah, depending on how thick the pan is or how much batter you have, yes.
I use a 9x13 pan.
9x13 you use, oh, yes.
And then I ice it with a cream cheese icing.
And the cream cheese icing, yes.
You want that?
Yes, please.
2 3-ounce packages of cream cheese.
2 3-ounces, yes.
1 stick of margarine.
1 margarine.
1 box of 10X sugar.
One box?
1 box.
Okay, it'd be a pound, wouldn't it?
A pound of, yes.
Of confectioner's sugar.
Right. And 1 teaspoon of vanilla.
And 1 little tea of vanilla.
Beat together and refrigerate after icing cake.
That's a very simple icing, isn't it?
Yes, very good.
And it's very good. They always come as that pair. I'm going to check some more on where those things come together. That's very interesting. Well, thank you. That's very good. The cream cheese, very good. Thank you very much. I'm sure the listener is listening.
I hope so.
All right. Great. Thank you very much. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Let's go on to someone in Urbana, line two. Hello.
Listening to you talk, I was reminded that a cookbook author who has been on one of the WYLL talk shows, who wrote The Gourmet Prescription, in trying to reduce the amount of carbohydrates in her diet.
Oh, yes.
She's done things like used lettuce as a wrap, instead of having a taco with a taco shell, she's put the taco ingredients inside on a leaf of lettuce and rolled it up. And so I guess you could say the lettuce is stuffed.
Well, you're absolutely right, because it becomes the vehicle for getting the other tastes. I do also know that that's used in Vietnamese cooking. The lettuce is served as leaves, and then you take a little piece of the prepared beef and a couple of the vegetables and roll them up and eat them in that manner. And there is a current fad in Japan of using lettuce leaves to roll your sushi instead of rolling the sushi up
seaweed.
This is a kind of a do-it-yourself everyone gathers around this table and you put it together, and lettuce leaves are used for that as well. So that does work, yes.
It would certainly lend itself to endless variations.
It would, because you could have, in fact, one might, heaven help us, eat only the lettuce. And that would fill you up. That would fill you up, and it'd be good. I mean, you know, even that, and then dipped into whatever sauce was there, because it would be very light, and you would be involved in making what you're eating. That's kind of the neat part. And you do eat far less when you're sort of more involved with it.
Yeah.
That's very good. Yes, I have done things with lettuce in that way. So that's good. Thank you.
And there are, yes, quite a variety of lettuces, including things like red-leafed romaine lettuce. So that would think that they would have more vitamins in them than even plain old green-leaf romaine, and much more than something like iceberg lettuce, which I understand has almost no nutritional.
Well, I know it doesn't, and everyone sort of sneers at iceberg lettuce, but I have a recipe that, as far as I'm concerned, justifies the making of iceberg lettuce. It's a new variation of an old recipe from the Pennsylvania Dutch, where, again, in the time period when you wouldn't expect a lettuce to be hanging around, there it is. Instead of the little green lettuces, the heads come much later. The heads are chopped into about inch. And you know, they're big and heavy and clunky, but the wilting stuff, which would be whatever oil, it could be bacon grease. This was the old recipe, but it is bacon grease and sugar and vinegar is all put together, and then it's thickened ever so slightly with cornstarch, and that makes it clings a little bit, and that is served. And then the way I make it is I make all of that in a wok, and then I toss all of that lettuce in on top of the wok stuff and do a quick stir fry. It doesn't take very long. It's just to get this hot dressing over the iceberg lettuce. I'm telling you, it saves it, and it is wonderful. So it would just be that old wilted lettuce kind of taste. But I serve that, and everyone says, "My God, I've never had anything like this. You know, this is wonderful." I said, "Well, yes, leave it to somebody who wants to make something to eat." Anyway, that's my story with iceberg lettuce.
I'd like to suggest for a program that you do unconventional vegetables that you might find, for instance, at the Urbana Farmers Market in the summer that you don't know.
Name some, because that, you know, what's new to
you?
Well,
I got one for you, because, yes, I've been thinking about this every time now recently. I see it in the store, and I see chayote, and I think,
okay, chayote, all right, yes.
What can I do with that?
Well, I'll
tell you. And a lot of people don't know what to do with eggplant. It looks so pretty.
Eggplant, yes.
A lot of people don't know what to do with arugula.
And arugula, all right.
I'm sure if I walked around, I'm sure I'd come up with some that I would be interested in.
Well, I'm writing these down, because then we can formulate something around that. That's a good idea.
Well, there may be people who know that they've got some cool recipe for something that people don't normally
mm-hmm,
use.
Mm-hmm.
But along the eggplant lines, my family doesn't much like eggplant. In fact, my husband used to ferret it out whenever I tried to do something with it. So every now and then I rise to the challenge again and try something new.
Make caponata. Make a caponata with it, and they'll go crazy for it. They'll love it.
Well, actually, he likes ratatouille.
Ratatouille. Well, a caponata is a ratatouille that's a little bit, as Emeril would say, kicked up a notch. It is that kind of a vegetable stew. Caponata is an old Italian taste, and ratatouille is found many different kinds of places. But I like ratatouille, both cold and hot, yes.
But the other thing that I have discovered recently, and I can't remember whether he likes it or not, I've been eating it myself a fair amount, is, and it sort of goes with what you're talking about today, but I'm stretching it a bit, cutting an eggplant in half, scoring it,
mm-hmm.
The flesh down to the skin,
mm-hmm.
From the cut side, lengthwise, and then cross-hatching it,
mm-hmm.
Kind of at a diagonal, and then sprinkling in there a bunch of chopped up garlic and rosemary and salt and pepper.
Oh, yes.
With olive oil.
Sounds good.
This isn't quite really stuffing. But then you stick it under the broiler or bake it, depending on how fat your eggplant is, and broil it for a bit so it gets a little bit crispy on the surface and soft underneath.
And soft, yes.
And you can eat it hot or cold.
Oh, yes. Well, there is a stuffed eggplant style, and you described it pretty well. I think they often turn it upside down and with the skin on the top, and then bake it in the oven for about 30 minutes, then turn it up and take some of the flesh out and mix that with the vegetables and put it back in the oven. A stuffed eggplant. There is a New Orleans recipe that uses a stuffed eggplant in that way.
I think I forgot to mention spraying it with olive oil. I use one of those pump sprays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good. So good for you.
So it doesn't get totally dried out, but so
right.
That you don't overdo the oil bit.
Right.
Okay, thanks.
Well, that's good.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much for the call.
I'm fond of eggplant.
I'm sure that is one that, you know, you see it there and you think, well, you know, what exactly do for people whose maybe only experience of eggplant is eggplant parmesan?
Well, yes. And you see, again, I've decided I've been around too long. I've been eating eggplant for so long that I can't imagine anyone that doesn't know what it is because, you know, of course, I believe that everyone knows what I know, but I come to find out that's not true. As for chayote,
yes.
You chop it up in little dice about that big and treat it like a patty pie patty squash and just simply boil it a little bit or steam it a little bit, put a little butter and pepper on it, and that's it.
That's all. Okay.
That's one thing. That's one. There are stuffed chayotes, but then okay. If you want to know the taste, and it will be very similar to the little pie patty. You know what I'm talking about?
I think so.
It's that little round, flat squash, a summer squash.
Yeah.
Little round, flat one.
Okay.
The tastes are very similar. You don't have to peel it or anything.
Okay. Fennel is another one of these vegetables that ought to be on this list.
Oh.
It's very big in Italian cooking, but I'm sure a lot of folks, that'd be one of those things that you see there in the grocery store and you think, well, what do I do with this?
Well, I've got a list started. All we'll right. just, when we get some more, we'll have a time.
All right. Other callers here. We got about 10 minutes left.
Goodness.
Here with this man, we like to call our chef in residence, Doyle Moore. It's our monthly show on cooking. And we have been talking about vegetables, particularly stuffed vegetables. Using vegetables as wrappers, as containers, what have you. Next, we'll go to Downs, line number 4. Hello.
Hi.
Mm-hmm.
I have an interesting book, which is called A Mediterranean Feast.
Oh, yes.
By Clifford Wright, who I would think would be a great guest, but the book is 1999, so he may not be available anymore. But it's a history of the Mediterranean, lots and lots of recipes. But apparently cabbage was very big before all those New World introductions. Cabbage and dried beans.
I had forgotten about the dried beans. Beans were one of the very first things that people learned how. In fact, that was sort of the term civilization. I don't know exactly how this fits, but they determined a primitive society from a civilized society as to whether they farmed beans or not. That's the first way of telling that they had slowed down long enough to farm and do beans. So beans have been with us a long time.
And they have such a bad reputation.
And they do,
people
don't
think
they?
It's the opposite of civilization.
That's funny.
I have a kind of a variation on stuffed cabbage. This is not a recipe that I am very complete about or really know. It's just kind of an idea that I saw somewhere.
Yes.
Which was to stuff Savoy cabbage whole.
Oh, stuff it whole.
And you simply, you know, tease out the leaves.
Oh, yes.
And then you put the stuffing in between the leaves.
Now, Savoy cabbage,
it's that crinkly.
Yes, it is. I don't know where I've been all my life, but I never cooked with a Savoy cabbage until last week. And, of course, I'm sold on it. And I can see, because it isn't as tight and as heavy as the green cabbage is, you could kind of poke some things in there. I did my stuffed leaves with the Savoy cabbage. Yes. That would be interesting. And then the whole head is steamed after that?
The whole head that is steamed afterwards, and then it's just it's cut in wedges.
In wedges. That sounds pretty good. That that sounds familiar, but I can't remember. I can't place exactly where I would have run into that. I have never cooked that. But yes, I'm a Savoy cabbage aficionado now.
Remember it being gorgeous.
It is gorgeous, and it's crinkly, and the leaves are bigger, and they're quite fluffy. Let me throw in a very quick thing since we're running almost out of time. Often the recipes, if you are going to do cabbage, they say to cut off the leaves and then boil the leaves separately. Then someone says cut out the heart and boil the whole head. But Jacques Pepin this last month or so said, stick the cabbage into the deep freeze and forget about it, and that takes care of all the wilting. So you'd have a frozen cabbage, and then when you take it out, all the leaves are wilted, and you wouldn't have to.
It would probably be good if you wanted to do the stuffing hold.
I would think so, because then you wouldn't break it because you would be able then to just lift them back. Yes,
and it seems easier than stuffing individual rolls.
Well, I think it's a good idea. I'm going to look that up too. Thank you.
Okay.
That's good.
Thank you. And again, let's see. We have another caller here on our line number one, which would be in Urbana. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah.
I don't mean to get us all off the topic, but I had a terrible situation. For the holidays, I had tried to bake, and at various other times, caramels. I wanted to make the white kind of vanilla caramels that are fairly soft to give as gifts.
Uh-huh.
And so I tried this crock pot recipe, and I tried it about three times, and it must surely be wrong because it just completely didn't turn out right at all. The ingredients separated. I mean, I can read that real quickly to you. Or
yes, because I'm sitting here trying to figure
yes.
out those problems.
It was
yes.
really strange. Okay, it says caramel candies, 1 cup of sugar, 1 cup of light brown sugar, 1 cup of white corn syrup, 1 14-ounce can evaporated milk.
Evaporated milk, yes.
A half a cup of butter, 2 teaspoons vanilla, and 1 cup chopped pecans.
Yeah.
Then it said mix all ingredients except vanilla and pecans in the crock pot.
Yes.
Cook on high, stirring occasionally for 4 to 5 hours. Then it said turn to low and remove. Cover, cook overnight, or until coated spoon. But I never got that far because before 4 or 5 hours were up, it had completely separated and it ruined.
I would look for another. The things that you put in it are correct and in my memory, but I don't believe I would do it in the crock pot.
Okay.
I think that might be a problem because that timing is so arbitrary that I think that's what is happening because it may be too hot or it may be not hot enough and maybe the sugar. Caramelizes or it doesn't caramelize. I don't know what it would be. And then that doesn't mix with the butter and all. And the evaporated milk should be stirring that in. I would find another recipe for the caramels because homemade caramels are wonderful. And that's it. It's sugar and then the brown sugar for flavor. And corn syrup is a way of modulating the sugar. And that mixes with the milk. You might want to use... the fat-free half and half. I like the flavor of that. But a good evaporated milk or condensed milk. Now, there might be a difference. Oh, I have to think about that. Condensed milk is one thing. Evaporated milk is another thing. It may be one that... I don't know. It's going to take some adjustment, but I would look for a recipe where you cook over the stove because it shouldn't take that long.
Okay.
And that I think is what's getting in the way because the chemistry of what is happening with that long period is what's changing the nature of your caramels because homemade caramels are wonderful.
I hope I can hit on a recipe because I'm just dying for some.
Well, I think I may find one. I'll look for one.
Oh,
all
excellent.
Right. Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. We have a couple minutes left, maybe 3-4 minutes. We started out saying, you know, we could talk about stuffed vegetables and that you maybe got interested in this because you had found a recipe for cabbage rolls that didn't have any tomatoes in it.
No tomatoes in it.
You didn't get the recipe, did you?
No, I didn't. I haven't done that. I'll do it rather quickly because, again, it's one of those folk things. And it uses barley. and you cook the barley, and then you mix that with the meat, whatever meat it would be. I have used pork and beef, a good beef, and I use a half a can of evaporated milk and some shredded carrot, about a half a cup of shredded carrot. That just is going to fill it out a little more, and some chopped parsley. That gives a nice color to it. It doesn't have eggs in it, but I like to put, I did put a green onions, you know, the greens and everything else. You could put chopped onion in it too. Celery seed and oregano were the spices that were used, but I used the Herbe de Provence and celery seed so that it had a little more. Now, there was 1.5 tablespoons of ketchup, but that's not the same thing as tomato. That's just to give it a little more body, and one egg. And so it's really kind of like making a little meatloaf, and then you wrap that in the cabbage rolls. And then the remainder of the milk was poured over it. Of the evaporated milk, and then I lined the bottom of the pan with the leftover scraps because the recipe intimated that the moisture was in there just to keep it from sticking to the bottom of the pan. So I thought, well, let's let the scraps stick if they're going to stick. And so it was very light and free of tomato. I'm not against tomatoes. It's just that every recipe always was a tomato-y. And I thought, there's got to be something else. They had to do something else. Mm-hmm. So I did that and then put the Avgo Limono sauce over it, which was wonderful.
Well, and if you didn't get that, if you will drop us a line, we'll send it to you.
And they'll send it to you. It's called Beef and Barley Cabbage Rolls. You can ask for that recipe because I got it written out today.
Okay. We're almost at the point here. We're going to have to finish up. Any last little thing you'd like to leave?
I was thinking about a stuffed chayote.
Yes,
I was. See, that's a pear. It's called a kind of a – It's a squash of a sort, but it's pear shaped. I would slice it in half, and I would scoop out just a little bit while it's still raw, not cooked. Mm-hmm. And I would put a little bit of maybe sausage. Sausage would be good because the grease in it and everything else would sort of blend into it. Sausage that would be flavored the way you might like it. In fact, with that, and since it is an old Mexican dish, I think I'd put oregano and probably cinnamon in that. I'm making this up. In case somebody wonders if I'm making it up, I am. But that's what I would do, and I would then sort of pack that on top and bake them in the oven slowly. Hmm. So for at least 45 minutes. And I think you'd like it because that's what these techniques that we've been talking about. It's in the top of my mind. I'll bet you somewhere there's a stuffed chayote recipe.
I know a good website that has lots of recipes.
We'll look it up.
Yeah, we'll look it up. Well, thanks very much.
Sure.
Doyle Moore, the man we call our chef in residence. First Wednesday of the month, 10 o'clock. He stops by here. We talk about cooking, and we'll do it again next month.